Good evening. I want to call this meeting to order. And a couple things to mention up front, that we have our voting meetings October 23rd, 5:30, October 25th, 6:30, October 30th, 5:30. There's a couple of documents that got added to the pile of papers today. A two-pager, it's got some sort of off-color maroon in it, and Kevin put that together. It was a request that someone made, and that is in your packet. So we'll get, right now, County Attorney Jonathan Wood.
Good evening. I have a no-change budget. The only differences between this year and last year are the salary and the fringes, which are totally out of my control, of course. That's it. The full-time equivalence is the same. And there are no over-target requests. So basically, there's not a lot. I'm not asking for anything other than what we've had every other, what we've had the past several years at least. If you may recall, at one time we had four positions. We cut back a half position a few years ago. That seems to be a good level of staffing. I certainly wouldn't go any lower than that. And 98% of our budget is the staffing. So I'm not sure there's really much more to it. Be happy to answer any questions.
Questions or comments? Frank?
John, thanks for no OTRs. Could you describe the effort that the county attorney's department makes in reviewing our contracts?
Sure. As people probably don't think about a whole lot, we have many hundreds of contracts, some of which are routine and go year to year the same, and some of which are new and different. So it's really different for depending on what the contract is. We review pretty much every contract, which is something different than what we've had before. A lot of times it's part of the process of when it's something new going out in a request for proposals or bidding. So it's part of that. But there is a contracts manager, as you know, in administration, and we work closely with her and with Joe on all the contracts. And obviously there are questions which come up all the time, both with purchasing and with personnel on the contracts and with departments. So basically, we work pretty much on all the contracts, but need to understand that we have many hundreds of contracts, and a lot of them are renewals from year to year.
Can I ask a follow-up?
Yeah, why not?
Thank you. Is there any duplication in what you do and what the county administrator's review involves, the one you just described?
I wouldn't say duplication. Over periods of time, we've had different divisions of responsibilities between what we do and they do. In other words, there's like a database of contracts, and we alternate who keeps the database and things like that. But we try not to duplicate. I mean, we work pretty closely together. At one point several years ago, there was talk of having that person work in my office, but because of other reasons, that didn't happen, but we still work closely together.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Jim.
Anyone else? Mike?
John, where did we end up with the code service? Is that still in your budget?
I believe it is. Or is it now? Yeah, Kathy's nodding her head. Yeah, it is in my budget. I mean, the way I view the code service is it doesn't really matter whose budget is in so long as it is in a budget. One year we made the mistake, I think, of leaving it out of anybody's budget, and that was the problem. So now it's in my budget, but it's never been that big an issue to me whether it was in the legislature's budget or my budget. The only problem we've ever had is when we left it out of both budgets.
Right. I just want to make sure it's provided for.
Anyone else? Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Transportation Planning. Tompkins County Transportation Council of Ithaca. And I think Dwight is here for that?
No.
Fernando.
There are three transportation-related things. TCAT.
I'm sorry?
There are three of them. The TCAT also is...
Yeah, that's further down the list. Go ahead.
Jim, is it under the agency part of the budget or where?
Ithaca, Tompkins County Transportation Council.
It's on 4225.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead, Fernando.
Okay. I'm not sure what details we're going to cover, but our agency is basically funded through federal grants from the Federal Highway Administration, Federal Transit Administration. There's no local dollars involved in our budget. I think you will see a difference of $16,000 between last year and this year, and that reflects the local share of funding in an ongoing study, the regional transportation study. So that's money that came from a variety of sources, ended up in our budget so that we can move it into that project. But it's not something that's in next year since it's being used this year. It's a one-time expenditure. But other than that, it's the funding is received from the feds, comes through the agency to do operations. And I don't know if there's any specific questions. I'd be happy to
any
answer.
Questions, please? Mike, Martha? Go ahead, Mike.
Fernando, a couple of things. One, are things looking okay with the new highway bill, federal highway bill, and for us? And two, there was some talk about our little MPO being possibly endangered a while back. Is that out of danger?
I'll answer the second question first, because, yes, it's out of danger. The language that was proposed for removal of smaller MPOs did not end up in the federal bill, so... we're okay. It's a two-year bill, so we'll probably have this discussion again in 2 years. Are we okay? Things are pretty flat. So over the next couple of years, I don't expect any big increases in funding, which has been the case whenever we had a new federal bill. Usually we got a nice bump up in monies. That has not been the case here. In many ways, Congress in Washington kind of punted on this one. They passed a two-year bill, leaving the monies, except for a couple of areas, relatively flat. And in 2 years, I think we're going to have hopefully a more significant, longer-term bill, as is required, really, to address the transportation needs.
One other thing, Jim, if I may, and... I know at the state level, they took back some of the authority for state transportation projects and were redistributing that money from some of the other counties, for example. Have we been affected by that?
Well, the state has and is promoting a different approach to the use of federal funding. And they're doing this in part because the new law sort of promotes that. The part of the philosophy behind MAP 21, which is what the new federal law is called, or the acronym for it, is to focus the monies on the more significant, larger scale project. When I say the money, the federal money, federal transportation dollars, in more significant regional projects. And DOT has worked with Federal Highway to develop a process to help facilitate that. So this year, for the first time, some of the federal money, about 25% of it, is going to be put aside for statewide significant projects. And a call for projects has been put out. And so they're going through that process. At the same time, we're going to do our usual process where they sub-allocate dollars at the local level for our five-year transportation improvement program. Sadly, there's not a lot of money there. So we're probably going to have enough money to kind of keep things going as they are, but we won't be able to have a significant call for new projects.
Thank you.
Martha.
Mike asked my questions.
Anyone else? Thank you, Fernando. I'm sorry I didn't see you back there.
That's all right. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so there's nothing. Yeah, but it says his is part of it. Okay. Joy, you want to hit the microphone? I think we can do your portion of it, and then we'll go back to TCAT.
If anyone who's presenting is more comfortable sitting up front behind the desk, you're certainly welcome to do that. So I don't know if you're more comfortable there or up here, but whichever seems best for you will be fine.
Thank you for the invitation. But I was in improv TV a long time ago, and so this is natural. Good evening. I want to talk about the transportation planning program, which is in the Department of Social Services. Briefly, we provide two functions. The first function is we do all of the county grant management for federal and state public transportation programs, all of them. And the second primary function is that we assist the department to solve individual mobility issues of its clients. And we help the ITCTC in its effort to coordinate mobility services in the county. Looking at the budget for this year, it is significantly less than last year. That's because we are completing a number of large federal grants that basically ended this the 2009 grant cycle is coming to a close, and we had some large expenditures for buses and some other programs. The net local, the net county amount is of the $85,000. $75,000 is a annual support that the county gives to Gadabout and has done so for quite a long period of time, and it's a very important source of matching funds for Gadabout for their state aid program. And the other $10,000 is the county match of federal and state support that supports the transportation planning program. I know that if we go to the next one on the contract services, this is our largest element of the transportation planning program. It is primarily federal funds. We have two key sources shown here, which are federal job access funds and federal new freedom funding. And those are funds that the county assists programming and applies for, and it's primarily used by the nonprofit the operators, Gadabout, Challenge, Fish, Ithaca Car Share, the Way to Go program, from Cornell Cooperative Extension and some others to do specific services in the county. What I've shown is that of the $400,000 that we have in the budget, that we have $207,000 under contract now. And if you go to the next slide, please, Kevin. There's the New York State Department of Transportation will be issuing a call for JARC and New Freedom proposals to be sent to them before the end of this month. And we expect to use that solicitation and funding coming from that to fund the balance of the $400,000. As Fernando said, that yes, with the new federal transportation law, there's quite a few programs which are reorganized, consolidated, and otherwise revised from in the past. And we are now beginning to receive federal guidance for 2013, and we received the first 6 months of appropriations through the end of March of 2013, which was part of the federal bill. And for the one main program that they gave us specific dollar amounts for Tompkins County, which is the Urban Formula Transit Program, that funding level will increase 20% in 2013 over 2012. And for the balance of the programs, we need to wait for the state to sub-allocate funding to the counties. And then after that happens, we'll have a much fuller and complete picture in terms of the resources that we'll have to work with. Whenever I put this budget together in July, I told Kevin that the numbers I'm giving him at that time are really placeholders because we were in a great deal of flux. And we're still in a period of flux where we know, yes, there is money for the next 6 months. We know our largest program amount, but there's still other funding levels that will be coming down for us to use. And then if there's a significant change above the amounts in this budget, clearly we would be coming back to the to you to amend our budget. So with that, I'll stop and ask if there are any questions.
Yes, Pam has a question, and then Pat. Go ahead, Pam.
Yeah, Dwight. I want to make sure I'm right on this. Is that the with the new law and Map 21? The fund that you used to get your, you take your JARC and some of the other programs from was 5311 or 5312, is that what it was?
Well, the JARC was 5316.
Oh, 5316, okay. So, yes. And now that moved into 5307?
In 5311. It's in those, basically what they did was to consolidate the job access program into the two formula programs for urban transit and for rural
right.
transit.
Okay, and that those two funds are the funds where TCAT actually gets a large amount of its operating money from. Is that right?
Oh, yes, sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so I mean, that's something that we have to keep in mind when we're looking at these things because, of course, we in our enthusiasm for some of these new programs, which are wonderful, we surely don't want to be in the position of, coming up short with TCAT's bread and butter. So
yes, and one of the things I would just add is that the formulas have changed for funding the urban formula program and the rural formula program.
Okay.
To take into account a number of factors which are beneficial for us. One of those factors are the population under 150% of the federal poverty level, and that was one way to address the relevance of the job access program being moved into the formula programs. And for the new time, and for the first time, the formula accounts for the TCAT's productivity and their size of service in the allocation of funds. And that wasn't really the case in the past. And so that's why there's just on that one program that we have an appropriation amount for a 20% increase over 1 year.
Can I just do a follow-up? So the when you say productivity, you mean that and size of service. What does that mean? And what do those mean?
Well, they have – what that means is the number of riders
per year?
Per capita, per mile of service. There are six factors involved, and what the Congress did was basically set aside, instead of 1% of the total amount, they set aside 1.5% of the total amount to be decided on those service factors. And TCAT is measured by these six factors, is the most productive transit service for a city between 200 in an urbanized area between 200,000 and a million in New York State. And so we will receive a significant part of that 20% increase came from that. It came from the fact that the federal poverty level in our county is high, in part because of the population that comes here for education. And that's also a benefit that adds to the 20% increase. So what we really need to do is to wait and see how the state sub-allocates a number of these other programs, including the rural program, which has a large JARC element in it.
I would really like to see the information, if you've got written information about how this was determined, this 20% increase that you're talking about. It'd be great if we could all get that at some
point. Okay, sure.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sure TCAT would have that.
Pat, Frank, and Martha.
My questions are much more basic. Clearly, Pam has a much better understanding of this than I do. But a few minutes ago, you mentioned applying each year for this funding. Now, when I think of applying for funding, I think of grants. But this is not typical grant funding, is it? It's not. Is it competitive?
When we apply at the state level, it is competitive in the state. There are some that are competitive and others that aren't. The ones that are non-competitive, the state has a formula that they use to send out pots of funds to the small urbanized areas,
okay.
And that's not competitive. But anything with the rural program, which we also apply for and have applied for the last 30 years, that is competitive.
Has there ever been a time when we didn't get it? Aren't we pretty good at competing for this? I mean, it sounds as if we are.
Well, we are.
Okay. Okay, good. And then I was wondering with these programs to, you know, like the Way to Go and New Freedom, and especially some of the recent ones that we've added, are we eligible then to apply for more money, or do we have to take whatever money we got and divide it among more programs when we bring a new, how does that work when a new program comes online?
Well, what the way we have worked this in the past is the ITCTC has a solicitation process, and people send proposals that are evaluated locally here and then ranked and then determined to be funded. And the amount of funding is always reconciled. The amount of funding for any project is always reconciled to the total amount of funding that we actually get.
So does that mean that if we start a new program, that the money we commit to that takes away from one of our other programs?
That very well could be the case. But we've had programs come on and like drop out in terms of federal funds supporting them. And so what we have done is to do a across-the-board reduction in funding of a certain percentage to bring everybody in line with the amount of federal funds that we had to use to operate with.
Okay. Thank you.
Frank.
Thanks, Jim. Dwight, first, congratulations. I understand you're going to have a ribbon cutting coming up here shortly.
Wednesday at noon on the Commons, we have our wheelchair-accessible taxi.
Oh, right.
Martha's one of our speakers, featured speakers, and it's really tremendous. We will be the first upstate county to have a real state-of-the-art wheelchair-accessible taxi, and it is big and it's red, very red.
Very red. Dwight, I want to go back to something that Pam was asking, and then I have a couple of other questions about the numbers. Sometimes we're a little, some of us know, have a little more information than others, so bear with me a little bit. The 5311
which is category, the rural.
And the 5307, and I think you mentioned the 5316.
Which is, that used to be JARC, it's no longer there.
Okay. From what I understand, the feds collapsed a couple of those programs, including the numbers, into 5307.
And 11.
And some of it into 11.
Yes.
Was the 20% increase you mentioned, was that spread over 5307 and 5311 to accommodate the JARC program?
The rural program, the 5311, got a really significant increase in funding at the federal level because it's a very popular federal program with a very wide base of support. And I don't remember exactly what the over the next 2 years, it's to increase like 30-something percent. So for the rural, for services in rural America, which we're part of, there's a really significant increase in federal resources for the 5311 program. The 5307 program is almost flat at the national budget level. But because of the new formulas being used now, with the 2010 census being used, with these service factors being used, with the changes in, with the federal poverty being used, there's allocations and trade-offs between all the urbanized areas in the country in terms of who's gaining and who is losing. And because of our unique circumstances in our county, we are significantly increasing. I do not know and have not looked at if there's any other place in the state that's getting any type of benefit than what we are getting.
You mentioned that you thought there were six evaluation criteria.
Yes, there's five or six, yes.
Five or six.
Yes.
Do you have access to those?
Oh, sure.
I already asked him for them.
Yeah. Sure.
Is that what you were asking for?
Yeah.
Okay, because I'd like to get a copy of
sure.
that, too.
Sure, and they actually will show how we fare against all of the other
systems,
hundreds of systems around the country.
Yeah, because we're still in that ridiculous upstate unspecified. They don't call it that anymore.
No, they don't call it that. We have more dignity than that now.
Right. Well, it changed the name.
Upstate Rural Formula Program.
The other question that I have might not be for you. It might be for either Joe or Kevin. In all the other budgets that we have, there are backup sheets that break down the different income and expense categories. And the reason I'm asking this is the other day when Social Services was here, I asked where in their budget your operation exists.
It doesn't.
And I was told that
right.
you don't exist there.
Right.
So there's, except for the funding that comes for you, and as I understand it, it comes out of 5307,
yes.
What are the expenditures associated with all these other programs? Where are those carried? And is, because we don't have any backup sheet to that at all. Are those carried in some mysterious, do you pay for them out of your pocket?
No. There are, it's primarily the 425, contract services line accounts for the bulk.
In DSS?
No, in the 5631 budget, our contract services is clearly the lion's share of our budget.
That's section 4, page 381.
Excuse me, Joe?
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, go ahead. Thank you, Martha. Is this an email question? Right?
It very well might be. I'd be happy to.
Okay. I would appreciate that very much. Frank, do you have another question?
Not right now.
Okay.
Thanks, Joe. Thank you, Dwight.
I have Martha and then Pam.
Yeah, I was just trying to, you know, I found these pages under transportation planning, so there are four pages there. I'm interested. Talking about the consolidation of programs then result, if I understand this correctly, then resulting in an increase of 20%. Is that really an increase, or is it just moving things around and calling it something different and the pot is...
No, it's an increase.
Okay.
They moved it around. At the national level, things got moved around. Mm-hmm. And by changing the formulas... It just happened that it really results in a very significant increase for us because of those formula changes. And it is probably the unintended consequence of those formula changes.
So
we are an outlier.
Okay.
Right.
So if I understand, 5307 is the urban program.
Yes, it is.
5311 is the rural. So... Was there sort of historically an imbalance where, like, per capita urban systems got more than the rural programs?
Oh, the urbans have, those programs are measured in the billions nationally, and the rural is in the hundreds of millions nationally. So, yes, that has always been a long-standing argument for increasing the rural program.
Okay. And I know there's a little testiness about new programs here, but I've heard for years about the need for a youth gadabout, for something that would, you know, a jitney that would take kids, you know, after school from one place to another, or that. same idea. How would that, is there a way that that kind of idea could be developed? How would that happen?
Through the coordinated planning process, we take on inquiries and issues and problems, and we really look at ways to resolve them. I will say that because of the scarcity of funding at all levels, and because we need to be as efficient and productive as possible, we are really looking to see how do we fill empty seats of otherwise available services. And I believe we're at the cutting edge of ride sharing and targeted services. The need that you're talking about relating to the youth and after school services, and then access to parent teachers conferences by parents, and all of these other elements relating to school activity, is one that we've been working on for the past several years. And there are some volunteer transportation services that are helping in this area, but we have a long way to go. But we have some really good ideas about how to really target and use ride sharing around specific schools on a school-by-school basis. And we just really need to engage more people to fill empty seats, because they are already traveling.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Pam, you got the last question on this one.
Yeah, I would just like to say, I don't think the tension is not around new programs, because I think we're all interested in transporting as many people as we possibly can. I don't think that is the issue. I think that we just want to make sure that this obviously very good bus system that we have, that we aren't jeopardizing that high productivity by introducing some of these programs that we don't know. And I guess that's my question to you, Dwight, is if you've done any performance measurements on any of these programs that you've done. Do we have any stats on how they're working? And
We are actually putting together a report for the legislature on that. We've been working on it for the last month, and we've been getting data, and we will put together and bring it to both legislative committees. And it's important to note that with the new federal law, that performance measures, a plan for performance, of measuring all performance of all systems supported with federal funds, is a key part of the new law. And so all this is going into effect anyway, but we certainly want to get a jump start on that process. And we're very interested in it.
Thank you. Anyone else have any questions? Thank you very much, Dwight.
Thank you very much.
TCAT is on the line. Right on time. And if you will note, many of you, we've already been to the budget presentation. It is on 569, which is their one pager that talks about the expenditures and revenue.
It was this one. It was section
5, page 69. I think this is a, Joe, is there something you wanted to say as an intro here? Or either Joe? Or should we just start with questions?
I guess I can get us started. This should have appeared as an OTR in your original budget. If you don't have it, it was one of those buff-colored pages that was an addendum later on that we presented to you. If you recall, TCAT had requested an add-on of about $110,000 in change, all on the capital side. You understand the way this works. That's one of three pieces. So the way the funding for TCAT works is each of the three partners contributes exactly the same amount. So it's the equivalent of about a $330,000 or $331,000 request, all told. About $300,000 of that total request, or $100,000 requested of us, was for a capital reserve fund to allow TCAT to begin building reserves to buy capital things like buses and buildings. The other $10,000 and change, I don't have the exact number in front of me, was for more routine capital items. So it was really a split request. And you see in your OTR the sum of those two things. You also see that we didn't recommend anything. This was really in keeping with our goal of trying to keep things to status quo, kind of really not decrease but not increase. I think as Joe explains that, we may want to talk about, in the way that the OTR has been presented, there are two parts of this request. And if I can go back, the capital reserve is, call it, all local money. So remember, that was $300,000, so that doesn't leverage anyone else's money, at least not in the first instance. However, the other $10,000, if we understand the TCAT proposal the right way, does have a pretty significant leveraging effect. And I think what's assumed is an 80-10-10 split of money, if I'm correct, Joe. 80% federal, 10% state, and 10% local.
That's correct.
So for every dollar of local that is provided in this smaller allocation, it leverages about $9 of state and federal money. So as you look at this, you may choose to look at it in a, as my lawyer friends would say, a bifurcated way, in two parts as opposed to one, and consider that leveraging factor that relates to that smaller part of the request. Again, my recommendation in the budget didn't provide for any increase, but the way the OTR is laid out, I think you can see kind of the two parts of that request.
Anyone have any questions? Let me ask one. So am I understanding there's been a request for $100,000 from each partner for the capital fund? And what Joe has just said, if we approach it a different way, there's a way to leverage that $300,000 by each partner putting in $10,000? Is that it?
Not quite.
Well, I'll try to tell a story.
Yeah, okay.
I was listening to Joe. Mainly from a TCAT perspective, what we tried to do this year is tell our story, that not to minimize our operating budget, but the 0% increase that we've seemed to become accustomed to over the fifth year in a row now seems to work for us. But we do have some pains in that we've asked employees not to take raises. We've frozen a couple of positions. So although we're getting by with that, I think it's very short term before the pain starts hitting TCAT again. What we did realize as we're looking at everything, over the next couple of years, we have a chance to replace a significant part of our fleet, which is roughly $8 to $9 million worth of buses. Sitting there scratching your head, looking at what's available for that in terms of money, there is no money. There is no money at the federal level at this time. There is a new grant that, out of the new transportation bill that came out, called the 5339. I know Dwight was explaining all these numbers, but that's a new one. Unfortunately, although the tables have not been put out yet on that, I'm not expecting to see TCAT get any more than roughly $70,000 a year. That's a long ways from the $9 million. So that brought us forward with the thinking, we've got to do something, and the idea was to set up a reserve for our capital side, mainly the buses, and we started out with $100,000 per partner. $300,000 a year, that's less than a bus. But if we group that with maybe this federal funding, maybe we can buy one bus. It's a start. And the $10,000 that Joe referred to is our ongoing every year capital expense, things such as support vehicles, computer hardware, some of the facility rehab, shelters, all this stuff that we buy every year. It's a 10% local match, and that's the $10,000 we're asking for each partner. So there's two separate issues here. There's the business that we do every day, and then there's the bus issue that there's no funding. I hate to make matters worse, but we're also looking at a facility that's popping at the seams. It's getting old. That's not even anywhere in any of this. So from TCAT's perspective, it's our capital pains this year, and we thought if nothing else, we should address it by at least starting some sort of capital reserve.
Anyone else? Thank you. Frank, Martha, and then Frank.
So $10,978 that's the ongoing.
Correct.
The small amount. And you're saying that if that's funded by each of the partners, so that's $33,000-ish, that would bring another nine times that amount from
state and federal, right?
Joe? What are you thinking? I just care. What, I mean, why wouldn't you?
Would you like me to be disarming in my candor? As we were putting this budget together and trying to figure out how to make everything fit in place, I hadn't really thought about how to break this into two pieces and how a relatively small allocation of county dollars might help leverage a very significant amount of capital dollars for TCAT. Certainly the capital reserve we thought a lot about, but I know as I looked at it, I really didn't distinguish between those two parts of the request. So is that disarming in its candor?
That's perfect. That's fine.
Go.
Okay, so that might be a motion to make that separates the two. Okay.
Frank.
Thanks for walking through that, Martha. I mean it. That was helpful. But don't forget that we're only one of two. We need two other partners, if you will, to also come up with whatever that number is, $10,000 each, so that we can move that ahead, because each partner has to contribute an equal share, even on the capital side, not just the operating side. Joe, about 2 years ago, you mentioned the facility and that we're bursting at the seams down there. About 2 years ago, my recollection is we were putting together pieces to apply for a planning grant in order to plan and look at what we needed in the facility. And I know that for one reason or another, that was pulled at the last minute. Yeah, that's for another discussion at another time. But was that, do you have any feel for whether there's any money coming down the pipe for planning so that we can think about that and think about the facility?
Well, we do have a project lined up right now, and it's going to look at just the facility as it sits today on Willow, the shape it's in. You're looking at the HVAC systems, the lifts, everything that moves. So that will be a comprehensive study going through all that just to let us know what has to take place in the near future and 5-10 years down the road. So there is money. There is a study in place. It's a relatively small study.
With regard to the buses, we're looking at over the next 3 to 5 years needing to replace how many buses? And that's what that capital, $300,000 in capital, $100,000 each was supposed to go for.
Well, we're looking to replace 17 of the big buses. Unfortunately, those are the 17 that are costing TCAT the most money at this time. It's the buses that we seem to always have to replace engines in. They were underpowered on the manufacturer, so as we look at our monthly stats on our buses, the 17 stick out all the time. So not to add panic to this, but the sooner the better to replace those. We've proven over time that we can hang on to buses longer than 12 years, but these 17 are costing TCAT more money than any else in the fleet. Also got the four small buses due for replacement and our trolley also.
And the facility still houses Gadabout also, right?
Correct.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks. Dooley and Pam.
Hello, Joe.
Hello.
Are you considering compressed natural gas again for buses?
Not at this time. We are currently involved in a grant application on a hydrogen fuel cell bus. Matter of fact, we're working today to finalize that submittal to be more of a demonstration project to be one of the first East Coast transit properties to actually demonstrate a hydrogen fuel cell bus, teaming up with BAE out of Endicott and four other companies throughout the United States. But no to the CNG.
Was that not particularly successful when you tried it before then?
For the trolley?
Yeah.
It was just a simple matter of the fueling station disappeared on us.
So it's the fueling station that's the problem?
Correct.
Okay. And that, all right. Do you have any indication from the other partners where they stand on this request at this point?
For the $100,000?
100 or the 11 or both?
I personally, I don't know.
Okay.
I can't answer that.
Thank you.
Pam.
Well, I have a question for Joe Mariana, and we are looking at, with TCAD, I mean, clearly this facility is, we're going to have some very large capital expenses in the future here. And, you know, this isn't even a bad year, and we are hesitant about putting forth $100,000 because of the whole issue on pressure on our property tax. So, do you have some thoughts on this?
Well, actually I do, and I think what Joe's talking about tonight really begs the question. If you think about how many buses are you going to have to replace over the next few years? Did you say 17?
17.
At $300,000 a piece or so?
Closer to 400, yeah.
Okay, so that's almost $7 million, and then a facility might cost, it could approach double-digit millions as well, and there's great uncertainty about who's going to be there to help support these with respect to federal and state aid. I mean, it really is approaching a point where it may exceed the capacity of the property tax to support the full capital needs of TCAD in the future, yet we will have those needs. We have a great system, and we want to preserve that system. So I think over the next several months, we do need to sit down and we need to figure out how we can go about addressing what seems to be a looming capital need at TCAT and whether the property tax is the sole source of being able to support that or whether we have to look at other ways to do it. And I think come this time next year, we should probably have an answer to that question because the needs won't go away. So that's what I would suggest that we need to do, again, in short order over the next few months.
I miss Will. I'm sorry. Will, go ahead.
Thank you, Jim. So following up on that, Joe, is any of this bondable? I can't imagine how we would get that amount otherwise. But
well, I think it would be bondable. The county would have to bond for it. They would use our... No? The county can't do it?
It's not a county.
So the finance commissioner says, no, we could not bond for it.
Okay. So this puts us in a very, very difficult situation. And I'm not sure what I look forward to exploring alternatives.
Right.
The question for other Joe. And sort of following up on the, had you got any indication from the other funding partners? What is the process? Historically, do we act first, and then they either follow suit or whatever? And if one partner fails to follow suit, then does it all fall apart? What is?
Yeah, the answer to your last question is yes. If one partner doesn't follow through, it would fall apart. I'm not sure the timing, either the county or the city. I think the county goes first, and then the city follows through with their budget. And the Cornell's on a totally different calendar year, so it's usually dependent upon the county and the city what comes of those two final agreements.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
I have Peter, but Peter, I'm on.
Yeah, this is a follow-up to Will's question.
Okay.
David and I just had a little conference. The way we can approach the building may be different than the way we approach buses. So the building may be bondable. Certainly we have to look at say whether it is or not, but the building may be bondable. There may be obstacles, though, to bonding for the buses.
Okay. Thank you, Joe.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Peter Stein.
Well, I may be dense, but you should never ask a magician how he does his tricks, but I didn't know there was anything other than property tax to support things. I mean, I know property tax and user fees, and I don't think you're talking the latter. So what ways are there?
Peter, I think the one that may jump to the front, and it only because it's done in virtually all other counties that support transit operations, is a mortgage recording tax, something that we looked at for county purposes a couple of years ago and that we didn't get very far. However, when you look at, again, how other counties in New York State, including downstate counties, support their public transit, it is through a mortgage tax.
Oh, so they dedicate the mortgage tax.
They dedicate it, and
that,
there's some real hurdles in the way of that. But in terms of other revenue sources, there may be others beyond that, but that's one that we would certainly look at first.
Thank you.
Frank and then Pam.
Thanks, Jim. Joe, the categories, the 5307, 11, whatever, within those categories, because of the types of needs, is TCAT permitted to allocate with permission from some entity some of that money for capital expense as opposed to operating expense? And then I want to follow up to that.
Well, I think what traditionally TCAT has done, and it's probably the model across the country on the 5307 grant, which is the largest transit grant, unfortunately you maximize the operating dollars out of that grant, and then what's left over you put into your capital budget. And I think TCAT's done that. We've done that to keep our operating budget going and keeping us going. But unfortunately, when you do that, you're robbing the capital side. So I think that's where we are. I think the fact that we've done that successfully, and so has everyone else, we're stuck with this big capital need and no grants for that. So you can do that, yeah. You can flip money back and forth
if there's money left,
right?
Or you're willing to bite the bullet, as you described.
Sure.
The traditional bus service, which we have, in addition to the support services for JARC and some of those others, the line that some of those other services is coming out of, do you have any discretion over that line?
Over, are you referring to the 5316 grants or?
Well, I'm thinking of mobility management in particular in the 5307 line. Do you have any discretion over that line? Because that seems to be growing at the expense of the TCAT operating and capital uses of that same category.
Well, TCAT's definitely part of the coordinating planning process. I missed the beginning of the last section, and I think you may have been hitting on it, is the growing concern that TCAT has is when you do away with those programs and you lump them into the 5307 program, that's, in my mind, already underfunded for what we do. It's going to make things real tough, and I think from the federal level, they're going to expect the local entities to make the decisions on the 5307 money, where it goes. And, I mean, you can see our story. TCAT's not really even getting by with the 5307 today, so it's going to be hard to entertain anything above and beyond that.
Thanks.
Pam.
I pass.
Martha.
The numbers sound similar to what Dwight's number, 5307, 5311. So are you, does TCAT get funding under the program that's been increased by 20%? I mean,
5307,
yes. Yeah, I mean, that's our big line item in our budget from the federal side. That's the 5307, 5311 money.
So does that mean you expect to get an increase in the federal funding?
Well, I think as Dwight spoke about it, the 5307 is a large number. It's the 1.6, 1.8 million. For what we're seeing, that's pretty flat line. The rural side is showing an increase. I'm not sure if they've released the tables yet. But it's not a big number like the 1.6. It's
the general of the 6 points.
Right.
So it's a 3% increase in 2,000 calls for a 6 month.
Excuse me, Dwight. I need you on the microphone if you're gonna be talking.
They're trying to figure it out.
What we're talking about is the tables haven't been released. We don't know exactly what it is.
Okay, but this big increase in the rural program, it wasn't just for the relatively small programs that Dwight runs. Is that right? Is it for the major transit systems too?
The 5307 is for the urban program, and with the 6 months that was released last Friday, it's showing a 20% increase over a comparison from 2013 to 2012.
Okay.
Okay. So that is.
So you're happy about it. Does Joe have reason to be happy about it too? Is this something where we might be, maybe we don't have the information yet, but you might be seeing a significant bump?
I hope so, because that's what we're planning on.
I mean, I'm happy with the 20% increase. What I'm guarded about is it's just a 6 month. I don't know. I'll be happy at the end of the year if it's 20% across the board. I don't know what the 6 month means. Usually we get the year allocation with you know what you're getting. Starting out with 6 months out of the gate kind of makes me wonder at least what is the following 6 months going to do. I don't know.
Okay. All right. I guess I would like to know to get information. If that means your overall budget ought to be modified in some way based on this new information, I'd really like to know about it.
Yeah, we talked about that, and the problem that we're having right now is we don't have the exact numbers in some of the allocations. We do in a couple of grants, but others we don't. They're just showing like statewide amounts, and that's it.
Okay. Any idea when you would get that information?
I would expect it shortly over the next month or two. I don't know.
Okay. As soon as you get that, if you could let us all know, that'd be great.
Hi, Frank.
Martha, thanks. I really mean it. Thanks for asking that. Well, I think we'd all like to see those numbers. And, of course, if there's any way to know that if this hypothetical 20% that we're all hoping comes true, if it all goes to TCAT, that would be great. We don't know what the dollar amount is. But the traditionally what's happened, and we need to be aware of it and cognizant of it, is the support of these other programs, the collapse of one of those categories entirely into other categories. We're not sure what the dollar amount is going to be. And as chairman of the TCAT Budget Committee, let me just say, we really would like to have that information that you just asked for, because it would help us all plan. And then we'd be able to come back with better numbers on, wouldn't it be great if the whole 20% for two six-month periods all went to TCAT? I think that would go a long way towards solving the cash flow problem that we hope is only looming and isn't for real. That might also help us on the capital investment side, because we might be able to move some of that money into capital programs. So you asked the right question, Martha.
Anyone else? Thank you very much, Joe. And
if I could just conclude, the end of my story is it's better than the beginning here is this is all happening at a time. TCAT's experiencing its highest ridership ever. I know every year I come up here and say that, but to come up here every year and say that says something about what we're doing at TCAT. We're up over close to 4% this year. And I know just by listening to my handy-dandy radio in my office and listening to bus operators and supervisors and everyone else, we are actually leaving globs of people at stops at certain times of day. That's not a good thing to do. It's a great challenge in transit to have. But when we're crunched with what we have in front of us, this bare-bones budget year after year, and the fleet being the same size and getting older, there's a real life story here, and I just hope that we can do better. I hope that somehow we can magically come up with the money. We just hired someone today. The focus of the individual is going to be on grants. A lot of it's going to be grants. A lot of it's going to be helping our analysis of what we do. We know that it's a tough time, and we're going to get really creative and find ways to find money. But I just want everyone to know we're still really succeeding here, and we're going to break $4 million this year, which is a huge feat for a community our size. So let's keep our fingers crossed, and let's just hope that money comes our way to help that problem of leaving people at the stops.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joe. And all your people that came here this evening. Solid Waste Management.
Just to make this brief, can you
use the microphone?
You need to use the microphone. Okay.
That's a good point. All right. Is that better? Okay. So basically what you see in front of you is a pretty stable budget. Percent change in expenditures is less than 1%. As well, you know, that what follows is revenues. Just roughly speaking, out of the total amount of revenues, about $1 million is attributed to revenues from the sale of recyclables. And that is an important point that I want to bring up. We started to see a downward trend in terms of the recycling revenues from fiber as well as plastics, but fiber is important, about August of this year. In terms of those revenues. I got the numbers from a bill today for September. Recycling revenues for fiber are down 40%, which is very significant. I had the opportunity to attend a national conference, and I heard from Sean Duffy, the president of ReCommunity, as well as other presidents of major recycling companies, as well as a speaker from China. What happened about 5 or 6 years ago is we became totally dependent as a country on the international commodities market in terms of the Chinese market, which really, in my mind, was a sad story because now, of course, with the Chinese economic downturn, we're subject now to their economy in addition to our own. So what that means is I was predicting about $125,000-$150,000 surplus from sale of recyclables this year, and my sense is that we'll probably do a little bit better than break even, but it won't carry us forward. The projection that I heard was that it'll be about 9 months from about August when things start to turn around. And so we have to be really careful with the 2013 budget because that was really not based on this downturn. So I just wanted to make you aware of that. The other really important part of our budget, in addition to growing some of the existing programs and partnerships that we have, is that we're moving forward more so with our partner Q's Compost on a contract for a couple of years to grow not only the commercial collection of food scraps, but also the residential. I see Ken Schleider in the back here. We also have a successful program with what we call on-site composting, home composting, et cetera, but we know there's a lot of people that either don't want to or need a service that involves some sort of collection down the line at their home. We have a lot to figure out, but this is the job for the next 5 years as we grow more diversion, as we go from 60% diversion to reaching 75% diversion, in addition to a lot of the education and community building initiatives that go with recycling and the additional materials there. So those are some of the main items in the budget for your consideration.
What we're doing is we're resuming 15 employees as a result of permission that we granted to a scale operator to work less than full-time as she gave birth to a child and as a single parent maintained her stability. And we certainly need the help because we've been pulling people away from other jobs. So there isn't really a very, this isn't the year we're starting a new recycling contract or some of the other changes that you saw. We're simply going to grow the programs. We're establishing a solid, young, and successful staff, and we're really looking at ways to increase diversion from our reliance on landfills. That will be reflected in the plan that we submit to the state and the greenhouse gas emission reductions as well. That's the nutshell. Hi, Peter. How are you?
Is that it?
That is it.
Peter Stein?
Sorry.
Hi, just a couple of questions. Don't the municipalities, the towns and the city do yard waste? And that's one question. And the other is, what is fiber? Is that paper and
paper,
cardboard?
It's all types of paper. It's cardboard, newspaper, high-grade paper, and things of that sort.
Okay.
But to answer your first question, there are a few municipalities in the county that collect yard waste from residents. I would say less than a third. And the others we wind up the yard waste can go directly to our facility as well. That's for the yard waste, but the food scraps are something different.
Thank you, Martha.
You're welcome, Martha.
Barbara, I didn't follow exactly what you said about the waste scale operator. You said when she went on maternity leave and she chose to go half time and now you need to fill in with another half person?
She went in 2010. We had her full time and 40 hours a week. We honored a request to go to 25 hours a week, and now we're moving her back to full time in her current position.
Okay, same person, increasing the hours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I also was confused. On your first slide, you said something about $1 million from selling recyclables. I thought you were saying revenue went up $1 million from
there's two different things. Thanks for asking. Of the $6.3 million, roughly, roughly we've anticipated that recycling revenues as one source of the revenues will be in the neighborhood of $1 million. Now, that number could be a bit less depending on what the market conditions are for the first 6 years. I mean, for the first 6 months, 6 years.
Okay, so you're saying the budget anticipates $1 million, but you're at the current trends, you're a little worried that
that
won't hold. Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Julie?
On the first page in our budget book, section 4, page 361, mm-hmm. where there are different line items, more or less, there's an entry called Other Supplies, which has gone up dramatically every year. What's that
category? I looked that up and looked at it in detail. What that is that has to do with a small piece of it is office supplies and automotive supplies and things of that sort. But a chunk of it has to do with we've been providing payments for the high grade materials from businesses, the universities, and the haulers that go on the commercial line so that we get the higher grade materials, because that line gives us a plus $50 to $60 a ton as opposed to it going to the single stream facility in Ontario County. So we'll give them, say, a little chunk of money so that it's worth their while to bring it to us instead of bringing it somewhere else.
Maybe there's a better word than supplies then.
Well, I don't really know how that could be changed, but I had to look it up myself because I didn't know the answer to that.
Bribe?
No. Incentive no. Payments? Yeah.
But we call it payments for commercial.
It's a budget.
It's outlined in the budget as a separate item.
We'll come up with another word. Pam.
So.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You don't have OTRs per se, I guess. But then I saw that a request to use money from the fund balance is called an OTR, but increase in personnel, the halftime, is not called an OTR. So that's more a question for Joe or Kevin. I don't understand why one is an OTR and one isn't.
Due to the way we do our process, the enterprise funds are kind of on their own in terms of managing their money.
Right.
So if they haven't increased the staff, you know, they're required to tell you about it, but I think they can fit it within, as long as they're not requesting use of property tax or net local. Now, the fund balance is kind of just a way to show that here is a situation where we are needing to use some of our fund balance. And the OTR is the easiest process to do that with.
So that's been a practice that Joe and I talked about from the time he came. It's used to balance the annual fee instead of it being raised depending on what's in the budget. I've submitted the five-year budget. Did you announce everybody? The five-year budget's going to go to you momentarily, and it shows that over the course of the next few years, we're not going to need to rely on balancing the budget through the fund balance, in addition to other things that I've put in that five-year budget.
Thanks.
Pam.
Barbara, the use of fund balance, what is left in your fund balance if you take this amount of money out?
1.4 million, right?
No, well, if we take this out, it's 1 million, a little over 1 million.
A little over 1 million?
For next year, but then what's more important is to look at what's going to happen over the next 5 years as that actually will go away. Other than the 10% that we're required to have.
What will go away?
The fund balance amount will decrease to roughly $650,000, the required fund balance, as we go through time. Next year, we're going to have a substantial amount of debt still to pay from building the facilities and things of that sort, and the budget isn't going down yet. So we're at a point where we still are going to be using the fund balance to balance the budget.
Barbara, could
yes?
you make sure you talk into the microphone when you answer? Mike.
Barbara, I'm glad to hear we're going to get your five-year projection. I look forward to that every year that you do that. It helps a lot. Are you making any changes estimated in the solid waste fee?
Yes.
What are you proposing?
Well, for next year, I'm requesting 56 until we pay off that debt at the end of until 2015.
It's a 56 now, right?
Yeah.
So you're not asking for any increase or
no,
decrease?
No, I'm not. But what I'm going to have to do is look at what the markets are telling me, and we're going to have to do some trimming and adjusting, just like I did in 2009 when the markets fell substantially. Don't know how I'm going to do that yet, but we got to see what happens, obviously.
Anyone else? Okay. Will?
So how is the single stream working? Is it economically working out?
Well, the single stream isn't the major breadwinner as it relates to the processing. We did just sign a contract that was it showed that the single stream for the collection makes economic sense. The real beauty, though, remember, of our facility is that we have this special commercial line to process material that's 75% paper, fiber, and we wind up fetching a very large revenue on it because we're not paying the transportation costs to Ontario County or the cost of the operation there, and that's turned out to be very successful. I'm pushing that even harder, though, with the company in terms of really making sure that they are getting as close to 100% as possible. So that's a real breadwinner for us. Yep.
Anyone else?
I have heard about a transfer station being expanded, or the possibility of one being expanded in Newfield. And I think that the person who wants to do that is already a hauler, which means that he would be licensed through you all. But then the idea is that anything he gets, he will not take to our place, but will take it directly to Seneca Meadows himself. Is that correct?
Are you talking about trash?
Yeah, well, recyclables also.
Yeah, I know. I know an awful lot about that project. As a matter of fact, I submitted a comment as required by the DEC to talk about how that project would affect our solid waste plan. Jonathan and I put together a statement. I'd be happy to send it to anybody that wanted it. What I will say in summary is that the question that we've raised, or what we would require, is that this hauler recycle everything that we're recycling at our facility, whether it comes to us — we don't flow control recycles — whether it comes to us or it doesn't. And that onus of responsibility is going to be on AWS to prove what they're going to be doing, so that they don't mix recyclables with trash.
So you have the ability to do that. I was concerned that it might affect our budget somehow. Okay.
Well, let's not assume it's going to happen yet.
I would, no.
Yeah.
So I would be very interested to get your statement.
I'd be happy to send it to the legislature.
I would appreciate that very much, and okay. It definitely is a committee discussion question that I can see in the future.
It might be a budget question.
Anyone else? Thank you so much, Barbara.
Thank you so much.
Come back at 7 for cooperative extension. 8 minutes will give a little break, okay?
Thank you.